I am thrilled to welcome to our New York stage this morning Farish Farrow, founder of Code to Inspire, the lady who is building a new brand anchored in hope for Afghan women. Please, please, a warm New York welcome.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for coming in such a kind of like unexpected cold morning. Before I start my presentation and talking about my work, how many of you have a friend from Afghanistan or talk to a person from Afghanistan? Raise your hand. Okay, well, not bad, I think. I have to do my job best today to leave you with the good things about Afghanistan and the people of Afghanistan. So just giving you a little bit of my life story and the challenges that I faced and relate to today's theme of being brave and how you can handle the challenges and situations. This is my family back in Iran. That little girl with the short hair of a white outfit is me. So I know I totally changed, I guess. So my parents fled the war in Afghanistan very early 80s when the Soviet invasion happened. And I was born in a very small city near to Afghanistan and Iran border. I grew up in a pretty big family, 8 kids. I'm the 5th one, so I will say I'm not the youngest, I'm not the oldest. So I kind of technically grew up by myself, and that's, I think, made me being more independent. So being born as a refugee, there's certainly a lot of obstacles and challenges that you're facing when you're in a country that not a lot of people think that you're here for a good reason. You will be treated as a second citizen. They think that you're there to take the opportunities from them, and you're going to be a burden on the community. So with that, ideas around yourself and how you really want to be expected, accepted for the person who you are, that was a challenge that I was growing up as a kid, as a teenager in Iran. I finished my high school in Iran, and one of the very biggest obstacles that we were facing, especially refugees, was accessing education. So you had to show certain papers to the schools that they let you go to the school. And if you wouldn't have that papers, you weren't able to get to the school. And one of my siblings actually lost 1 year of education because of that. So that was always a state with me that why, as a human being, we can't access the same resources and we have to be treated different, especially with education, that I think, from my perspective, is one of the very basic human rights that every human being, beside food and shelter, should access education and have the opportunity to go to school and get educated. So 1 year after the fall of Taliban in 2002, my family and I, we moved to Herat. It's a city in west of Afghanistan. It's a very beautiful mountainous city. The very old Silk Road is past that city. So it's a very big city of a lot of cultures, philosophers, poets. So we moved to the city. And for me, only seeing all these pictures from the TV and my family memory album, that was a very big transition to go from Iran to Afghanistan, a country that where we walked in, we didn't have electricity, we only had for a few hours during the day. That was my first time to take the water from wells. That was a very eye-opening experience for me to go from a country that I was born but never been accepted to a place that it's my hometown, but that's a lot of lack of infrastructure and a lot of different kind of like obstacles. So moving to Afghanistan, I'm talking about a country that faced decades of war, and then the Taliban just almost kind of left Afghanistan. So during the Taliban regime, there were zero participation of women in a workforce and also in the school. So like you're talking about disabling a half part of the community and just not letting them to participate. Most of the time when I say people, I'm from Afghanistan and I have a master in computer science, I went to Germany and I taught as a computer science professor, they're all like, no, you're kidding us, you're not from Afghanistan. I'm like, yes, I'm from Afghanistan, and there's a lot of good stories happening in Afghanistan that unfortunately the media doesn't cover that. And what makes me upset about is that bad news has always a good review, and people want to watch bad news, but they don't want to see like good news. And that's something I think is unfair about Afghanistan, because when you say Afghanistan, people think of, oh, it's a war zone. There's a lot of conflicts happening, and there's oppression against women, which I don't deny that. We do have, in certain part of Afghanistan, that there are the presence of extremists, and there are places that there's difficulties for women to go to school, but it's not the whole Afghanistan, and it's not the whole picture. So just giving you some numbers that I'm pretty sure you haven't heard about, is that we're the first, after the Taliban left, and within the 16 years of support of international community and helping Afghanistan to get out of that phase, the most important thing that happened was in education. So we have now about 7 million girl students going to school, which actually 2.5 million of them are girls. So that's a huge progress, talking about a country that had zero women going to school. And the women in the workforce, it actually improved 16% since 2016. And we have 20.3 million mobile users from a country that has like about 35 million population. So we got a lot of progress. And all those progress made me to think about, okay, how I can improve the situation of women in Afghanistan. Because I studied computer science in Afghanistan. I got my bachelor. And when I taught as a professor, I saw, well, the situation is the same. The women don't have a safe space to do some extracurricular activities. There's the market is not supporting women. There's not a lot of opportunities for them for going to job markets. And I was like, well, there should be someone and somewhere to change the situation. And I thought about opening the first computer coding school for girls in Afghanistan, and I did it on January 2015. We started with 50 girls, and we've educated about 150 girls so far. We offer classes in mobile application, game design, graphic design, web development, and the goal is to help these girls to learn the skills that they can not only be independent, but also make some money and be empowered and be financially in a better situation that they can support their families. So the program is free of charge. We don't charge our students because a lot of them come from a very financial challenging background. So we don't want to put them in a situation that they get excluded. So part of the work that we are doing with Code to Inspire, my organization, is that not only we want to help the girls, but we want to change the perspective of the community and make these girls to be braver, to be outstanding, to spoke about the situation and be empowered. So through our work, we really try to do a lot of social impact projects. So one of the projects that I put here, and you can see, was a mobile application that our students developed together. So one day they messaged me and they're like, we're thinking about, you know, change the perspective of people about Afghanistan, encourage them to come and visit. And we thought, well, there's not a good mobile app for tourism, and we want to create that. And I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. And they teamed up together. They released the first version, and they're working on the second version. It covers a lot of major cities of Afghanistan. If you can download it, you can find restaurants, places, book hotels, look for travel agencies, things like that. So with that, we are talking with the Ministry of Information Culture to be partner and really make it like a to-go app for everyone who wants to come and visit Afghanistan. I give you like a very interesting example of one of our students. She joined our web development class when she was in 10th grade, and she graduated from our school after the 2 years program when she was 12th grade. She was coming from a very challenging financial background that she even couldn't afford to pay for commute daily, which was less than a couple of cents. And we sponsored that because she was so brilliant. She didn't know English that much, and she didn't have computer at home and internet. So we rented her a laptop to take home. So when she graduated, one day she messaged me on Facebook and she was like, you can't believe today I just closed a deal with a company that I can create a website for you. And I'm gonna get paid for the first time. And I was like, wow, you're such a badass, like 12th grader. Like you go and like convince a company that give you a job. And that's kind of like what we are looking to, you know, like change is possible and it takes such a slow time, especially when you're thinking about a country like Afghanistan. And that's what we try to do and hopefully build Afghanistan 2.0 with these girls who are coding. So I studied literature a lot and I love Rumi. He is one of my inspirations and whenever I feel down, I always try to find a saying from him. And this saying stays with me a lot because it definitely resembles the situation of Afghanistan. So Rumi says, where there is ruin, there is hope for a great treasure. It resembles me of Afghanistan, where there are a lot of ruins. It's a shattered nations. It's a lot of refugees, but we do have a lot of treasures. And our treasures are the girls that we are trying to invest in their futures. So that's what I try to do. And I think that from the shattered ruins of a nation and shattered lives of refugees can come treasure if we know where to find it. So now I would like to show a quick video of the skull so you have a kind of like a visual of what the skull look like.
Hi, I'm Azita Azmi. I'm a mentor at coding school in Iran, Afghanistan, and this is the building that we teach the girls coding.
Thank you so much.
Fairy State, just marvelous. I don't know about the rest of you, but I think she's one badass lady.
Thank you.
Similar to our last speaker, we are constrained by time. So I have just two questions for you. The first one, what does bravery mean to you?
So I think, again, like for me to be born as a refugee and the consequences that I faced definitely shaped a lot of the bravery in me and how I can use the best out of the least. The example that I always carry with myself as a bravery and inspired me is about my mom. When they moved, like every refugee, they left everything in the country and they just fled with one suitcase and started a life in a totally new environment. And my mom, because she came from a very privileged family, she really didn't have to do a lot at home. But when she went to that country, she thought about, okay, I have to learn something to bring income and help the family. So she learned how to stitch and make dresses. And then she started going door to door and talk to people and to the stores. And then she created a community of women refugee and they started stitching dresses and selling. And with that money, I remember she could buy us school supplies and we could go to school like every other child. So that's bravery to me, to not be afraid of indifferences and to try to find the best out of the least. Even you have an empty hand, there's still a lot of opportunity for you out there. And that's what I learned from my mom. And even though I'm here since 2012, I've never been back in Afghanistan because of my immigration situation that I can't come back. So that's what I took from myself, which enabled me to create something even though I'm not present there and it's online. So just don't be afraid of indifferences and create opportunities for them, for yourself. Don't wait for them.
And thank you for telling a positive story, because so many of the stories we experience here in the United States of Afghanistan are negative. And it's inspiring in and of itself to acknowledge that circumstance and yet bring to life a positive story. Final question. How can we help you?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons if someone wants to help something, but I would like to first of all give a shout out and thanks to Francesco Rulli, who's there. And I never forget that he found my friend and I online, and we've been doing some small works for girls in Afghanistan back in 2011. And we got connected, and he was like, what do you want to do? And I help you. And through his support, I came to the US and we opened 13 media labs for the girls in high schools that time. And to me, I think that's also a sign of bravery, someone who never saw anyone and see that I carry refugee Afghanistan, a woman, but he believed in what we do and invested in us. And through that, I was able to continue the work I'm doing now. So just believe on the people, not look at what's around that name. Afghanistan shouldn't scare you as it didn't scare Francesco, and he helped us a lot with that, and he's still doing it. So please be my ambassador and a storyteller. Today, if you go and see one more person or two, your family, share my story, tell them about Afghanistan. And I hope that as much as I gave you a smile learning about Afghanistan, they also will be happy to hear some stories about that. But then, of course, as a non-for-profit organization, we are pretty young. We are relying on supports. We did have a lot of amazing corporate sponsors, such as Google and GitHub, been very amazing support. So any of you guys, if you think your company, your organization would be interested to support and change a life in Afghanistan, we're more than I'm more than happy to talk. In any capacity, it can be mentorship, giving your skills and expertise to us so we can scale and grow the organization. And of course, finance, it makes a big difference in our work. So we're very open to any help. And I definitely would love to have any other questions in the coffee time if you have to go in details. Thank you.